to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. I have with us our awesome guest that we have, well, co-host is not a guest anymore. You know, like those people that come to your house after the first or second time, you're like, oh, you're not a visitor anymore. You're part of the family. So he is absolutely a fabulous host. And we are excited that Professor Terry Benjamin, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know, again, it's just a great day, you know, another opportunity to do some good work.
Really? So you've been traveling around the state, around the country, doing workshops, seminars, you teach, you have... You know, you have your family. You got a lot going on. You have your books. You have your authors that you are promoting. You have your play. You're sexy at 60. You know, I tell you. So what exciting people have you met recently that are over there? Because I got an exciting person to tell you about, but. What exciting person have you met?
Well, I tell you, you know, again, probably the most exciting person that I've met, you know, is myself, you know, and I say that with no false modesty because I think, again, I've taken some time to really look inside myself and see what I'm doing and see if I'm on track, and it's so funny because, I just reached a milestone. I mean, I'm 62 today, and I know when I was much, much younger, I thought about 60 and 62.
Hold on, right?
That was when you retire. And
hold
I
on.
Said, wow, you know, I don't think I'll ever reach that particular age. But if I do, I hope I'm in pretty good shape. And, you know, you live your life and you find, and you go for your 20s, your 30s, and your 40s and 50s. And then you find yourself at 60. And today I found myself at 62. And again, I know the person that I am today is not the person that I was at 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or even 60. And the thing is, and I think we have to understand that we really have so much to look forward to because the longer we live, the better we know ourselves. And that person that you get to know is the best person because that's the person that you're going to be with for the rest of your life. So, you know, you really have to love yourself, not in a narcissistic way, but love yourself enough to take care of yourself so when you do reach these later years of life, your 60s, your 70s, and et cetera, you're going to be able to look at the person that you are now and say, you know what, I haven't done everything that I plan to do, that I will do, but I've done enough so that I'm satisfied with myself so I can move on. Many of us sort of beat ourselves, you know, because we haven't accomplished all the things that we wanted to do at a certain age, but you know what, it's never too late. It is never too late, and the show this morning, what I want to talk about is basically what Oprah always says when she ends her magazine. The last page of Old Magazine is entitled, What I Know For Sure. And there's certain things that you know for sure at 62 that you didn't know at all at 20 or 30 or 40. And so, again, I'm just blessed. And, again, the person that I'm talking about is the person that I've come to know just by living my life and following my own path. And it hasn't always easy because, you know, when you're trying to do something original or people question you and tell the truth, you question yourself. But in the final analysis, you got to do you. You know, you got to be yourself, and you have to really be able to accept yourself, you know. So, again, not being falsely modest, but I guess the best person that I've met and, you know, last few years is myself, and really looking at myself in terms of mind, body, and spirit, and really trying to make the adjustments so I can really continue to grow.
Hold on just one second, but I hear you. But we want to do something right now.
Okay, all right.
Okay, everyone, help us sing.
I love it. Thank you.
Well, we'll probably come back and sing some more later, but we just wanted to publicly, right here on International World Radio, radio, now the whole world knows it's your birthday, Professor.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
And you are
thank
to
you so
celebrate
much.
Oh, listen, I'm sure everyone would agree. 62 years, hey, you know, that's nothing to snuff about. I mean, that's, you know, you've done well. So
I've endured.
You have endured some things, and it sounds like you're ready to go on to the next level. So we celebrate you. We say happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, this is interesting because I tell you, my mother and father, they're both in their 70s. They're both 76. And the thing that I find really interesting about their lives is the fact that they've gone through their 60s. They've had their ups and downs. But now at 70, they are both so mellow. I mean, they're like really almost like floating on air. I mean, I look at my mother. I spend time with my father, and they have such an aura of peace about them that it's like nothing can really hurt them. I mean, they have different health issues, but they've taken that in stride. You know, sometimes when you're in your younger, like in your 20s, and it's like everything is a major crisis. Everything is full of drama. But as you get older, you realize, you know what? Every day is a blessing, because at this particular point, no days are promised. I mean, I look at some people and I see, you know, they're no longer with us. I mean, I've had family and friends who I've been very close to, who are no longer with us in the physical sense. They're always with us in spirit. But it's that, you know, we have to really, really, you know, really be grateful. And one of the things that I know for sure is that we must be in the moment. Now, so many people are thinking about yesterday or the future, whatnot, but we got to be in the moment. And I just want to, this quote, this is from Mark Twain, and I think it's so appropriate. It says here, one of the most tragic things I know about human nature is that all of us tend to put off living. We are all dreaming of some magical rose garden over the horizon instead of enjoying the roses that are blooming outside our windows today. And this is from Mark Twain, the writer of Tom Sawyer, creative Huckleberry Finn, and American Humorist. I mean, again, stop being so much into the future and the past that we don't understand the present. You know, and it's called the present for a reason, because it is a present to us in this day, and we need to enjoy it. I mean, I'm in class many times, and I see my students there texting under their desk, they're looking out the window, they're talking with their neighbor, they're doing anything but being focused on the moment. And these moments that we have, the older you get, are more precious, and you want to really enjoy it. When I'm with my wife, when I'm with my grandchildren, when I'm with my children, I'm about being with them. I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do tonight or what I did yesterday, whatnot. I am in the moment. And one of the things I know for sure is that if you want to get the most out of life, be in each moment. Savor each moment. It's like having a good meal before. You don't want to rush through it. I mean, take your time. You want to enjoy. You want to enjoy each bite, each taste, each smell. You want to be in that moment, because basically, if you let that moment consume you, you find that you have other moments, and then you have so many good moments. And so when you do get to be 62, like I am today, you won't feel that you wasted your time. I think one of the things that got me very much into my spirituality is the fact that I don't want to live a life that has been unlived. I don't want to live a life that has been just selfishly for myself. So when you deal in the spirit, you understand that the spirit is limitless, and there's no limit to the spirit, and there's no limit to God's grace and God's love. And all we can do is be a reflection of that. You know, we don't sort of close our eyes to the evils of the world, because there are evils, but we don't dwell on that. We dwell on the good things that we have and the good things that we can give to others. You know, one thing I know for sure is that you have to give to get. And when you give, what you give back, it's things that you could never, ever really imagine. You know, I can say my life today is a life that I imagined, but I'd never imagined it on this grand scale, because I didn't know that was possible for me. But the thing is that, you know, you have to imagine the life that you live and to move toward that life. And you move toward that life with your power of focus, with your power of energy, and your power of faith and hope, because it is there for you. But you have to be receptive to it, and you have to move toward it. And sometimes we get discouraged, and we just stop, and we just sort of bury our heads in the sand, and we want to just, you know, not live life, but just go through life. There are some people who are just going through life to get to death. They're not living. You know, they're just sort of marking time until the end. But I don't think that's any way to live, because, again, I believe one of the things, and I know for sure, that we have to be about conscious living. And conscious living is saying, you know what, I have a goal in mind, and every day I'm going to move toward that goal in some kind of way. It might be writing a letter. It might be writing an email. It might be talking to somebody. It may be just reading a book. You know, it may be just listening to some inspiring music. You know, whatever it is, it's moving you forward. You know, we can't go backwards. You can stand still, But to stand still is to really not really live to your full potential, you know, because, I mean, you stand still, you're stagnant, and if you're stagnant for too long, I mean, it's hard to move forward. So, again, I think it's about momentum, and I think it's about living the life that we know we were meant to live. And I think that's what it is, you know. And if we don't do that, then I don't think we really live life. As Samuel Butler, and this was in the early 1900s, he said that all the animals, excepting man, know that the principal business of life is to enjoy it. You know, animals enjoy life. You know, their lives may not be as long as ours, but whatever they do, the birds are singing. You know, the dogs and the cats are doing their things and whatnot. They're enjoying life. They're living life. And sometimes we don't do that because we get waylaid by, you know, alcohol and drugs and inappropriate sexual behavior and whatnot. And we waste time. And we waste time. And then we look back to try to get that time, and it's not there. And that's why we have to realize that when you get a certain age, especially when you get in your 60s, then you have to really be very conscious about how you live your life, and it's every day, you know. And so we have to look at how we exercise. We have to look at how we eat. We have to look at how we treat our skin. And we also have to look at our sleep. You know, many of us just don't get enough sleep, you know. And I have one time somebody told me that as you get older, you need less sleep. And I don't believe that's true. I think that as you get older, you have to be more conscious of the quality of your sleep. You know, many people have a lot of problems with getting a good night's sleep. I know many women, because of hormonal changes and different things in their lives, they get a good night's sleep is sometimes rare. But it's just so important to get that rest, because that's when the body is repairing itself. So we get that sleep. We, you know, as Deepak Chopra talks about, we get that deep rest. You know, we rest deeply, you know. And that helps us renew ourselves, because, again, at my age, it's not so much about being new, but it's about renewing. And so, again, as you live your life, you really look for ways to learn, and you look for ways to grow, and you look for ways to be better than you were yesterday. And that is possible if you live consciously, if you live on a conscious level, if you realize that every day is given to you as a gift, and what you have to do is share that gift and polish that gift, and also be about that gift. You know, you have this at this point in my life, I have to practice what I preach, because what I preach is who I am.
Mhm. Absolutely. Yes. You know, being a success in life, it takes hard work.
Oh yes.
Yeah. It's not a destination, it's a journey.
Yep,
and
yep.
On that journey, but you're right, every second of the day matters. You
yep.
only have, you know, how do they say, it's the deposit that is made, it's a certain amount that's deposited, so many minutes, 86,000 or so, you know, minutes in each day or whatever,
yep,
but
yep.
You won't, at the end of the day, whatever you don't use, you don't get to carry over. Whatever you don't make good of, you know, you got to make the best of each and every day. So I totally agree that, you know, your life is your canvas to design.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And it's a shame that, you know, I don't know, shame, but unfortunately it's not taught sometimes to the age group that it should be. So like now I'm working with a group of age 10, we said the cutoff would be 15, but right now I only have 10, 11, and 12-year-olds.
Wow.
This group of girls. Yeah, I just started it. It's
okay.
Right now it's, I think, six of them. Yeah, one, three,
wow.
four. Six girls. And they, these six live in a half-a-mile radius.
Wow.
None of them sisters. So on my street, there's six or eight families, all with the girl between the ages of 10 and 12.
Yes, yes.
So it didn't take, you know, rocket science for me to figure out that this is a group that I can work with and teach them all these things that we're talking about in our 60s. The leadership and host, and the beautiful thing is that I'm totally letting them drive. I told them, you drive, I'll just sit, just like a person when you go learn how to drive.
Yes, of course, of course.
They just sit over there in case you make a mistake. So you drive, I sit and see where you're going, as long as you're going somewhere that, you know, I already know where I want you to go, but, And it's working out, you know, perfectly. You know, what the group will be called, what will you wear to the meetings? You know, what will be the key focus of the main points of the meeting, the key learnings? And I tell you, phenomenal. And I believe that that's going to make the group a success.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Because I think what happens, and having you there as a role model is great, because one of the things I know for sure is that we need role models. We need people who are doing the things that we want to do in the way that we want to do it. I think one of the best examples is a man who passed at age 96. And this was Jack LaLanne, and this was he was a physical fitness, what they call a physical fitness guru, which means that he was about exercising. And it says here that right up to his death at age 96, he spent the first 2 hours of every day exercising, 90 minutes lifting weights and 30 minutes swimming or walking every morning. That ritual enabled him to achieve his goals of staying fit, healthy, and strong. His 11th book published when he was 95 was entitled Live Young Forever. So he worked consistently and deliberately toward his goals. He did the same thing day in and day out. He cared about his fitness, and he built it into his schedule. And so, again, this is from a book called 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distraction, and Get the Right Things Done. This is Peter Bergman. And, again, he has Jack LaLanne as a role model. And, again, and I think, again, we have to look at people who are living long lives and being very productive. You find now, especially on cable TV, a lot of our seasoned actors and actresses are actually taking roles on cable TV, more so than Hollywood, because Hollywood is about mostly about youth and blockbusters, and sometimes the small independent films, where now cable TV are hiring our older actors and actresses because they know they have the talent. And also they have the longevity, because you said before, like, you know, success is a journey. I always say that, you know, and one of the things I know for sure is that success is a marathon, which means that it's not a sprint. I mean, you can't get it over it. You know, you have to really go through it, and there's ups and downs, there's hills and valleys, but you know what? The reward is a long life and hopefully a long and productive life. So you can look back on your life and say, these are the things that I did, but more so the things that I did, these are things that I enjoyed. And so you're a role model for your group. And again, you know, you never know whose lives you may touch. And I know I have a very long career in education. And, I mean, a lot of my Facebook friends are people who I met maybe 20, 30 years ago. So, again, you never know whose life that you might touch. But you know that you are touching lives, so you got to be careful in terms of what you put out there. But, again, it's okay, because you know if you're moving in the direction of your goals, of your dreams, the thing, the life that you imagine for yourself, you'll find people along the way. And the thing is that you have to understand that there are people who are there for a reason, and also there are people there for a season. And we don't know how long the season is going to be. I mean, there are some friends who I thought I would have for life, and we've just sort of lost track with each other. And some of these people were not supposed to be friends forever. You know, a lot of times, I think one of the things when you get into your 60s, if you've been, you know, living life, you might have gone through one or two divorces, one or two separations, one or two love situations where you were with someone that who you really love. But, you know, sometimes we outgrow people. Sometimes they outgrow us. Sometimes people move on. But this is all part of life, and it's to be understood, is to appreciate it, and to be accepted. And people say nothing lasts forever, and I agree, it doesn't last forever, but it can be forever if we are willing to change. You know, one of the things I say about being 60 is that I would not have been where I'm at now if I wasn't willing to look at my life and say, you know what, maybe you should do things differently. You know, maybe the way you've been doing things are not the best way to do it. And to be able to do that and accept it and say, well, you know what, my life has been a failure because I changed my mind, or my life has been a failure because my mentality is different. My life has been a failure because I realized that, you know what, at age 62, I can't do the same things I did at 22. I'm not the same man. You know, I'm better in some ways and not as good as in others. But you know what? Life is change. And if you can't manage change, you're not going to have a happy life. You know, you have to understand that there are things that you can't do that you used to do, but that's okay because you know what? It makes room for other things. And one of the things that I know, being my 60s, you have to slow down. I mean, I can't run and rip and jump like I used to, and that's good because I don't need to do all that. You know, I don't need to prove anything to anybody else. I'm at the point in my life where, you know, the only person I need to please is myself, and those who are around me who love me, they accept me for who I am. And so many people are suffering with low self-esteem because they're trying to make people like them for the wrong reason. I mean, if someone doesn't like you, it's okay. I mean, like I said, they always say that, you know, everybody's not your cup of tea. And that's true, and that's what I'm saying. You know, and one of the things I know for sure is that, and I say this a lot, you need to go where you are appreciated, not where you tolerate it. You know? Because there's some place where I go, they always welcome me open arms. There's some places I go, you know, where, who's that guy, you know? So I think, again, you don't want to have to spend time trying to convince people who really are living their own life, and you're not part of their life, which is okay. You know, I mean, you can't be invited to every party, and I'm good with that because the parties I'm invited to are the parties that they're going to have good music and they're going to have good food, good people that I like to be at. You know, so again, I think, again, you have to understand that life takes us in many directions. But the best direction that we can take ourselves in is direction that was ordained for us from the beginning. I know at 9 years old, I said I wanted to be a writer. I didn't know what that meant. But I knew that this was something that I felt in my heart, that I felt passion for. And thank God that I was able to develop some talent in that area and to be about that. So, again, I think you have to really understand that your life is about choices, and the choices that we make are going to determine the quality of our future. And because we have to know that, you know, we have to understand that, you know, we got to really, that's why, you know, I think meditation is so important, that we spend some time alone with ourselves, that we take a walk, that we sit on the porch, that we and maybe lay in our bed and meditate and pray and get in contact with a higher power, because in final analysis, that's what's going to make the difference, you know, not anything that we can do. It's basically what we can do through the spirit. And the spirit is what not only moves us, but the spirit is what really keeps us on track, you know, because I know when I'm writing something, especially when I'm writing something deeply, a lot of the ideas that I'm putting down there are really from someplace outside of myself. And for me, that's what makes writing so exciting, because I always tell myself that I don't know what I think about something unless I sit down and write about it. And when I write about it, then I say, oh, okay, so that's what you have in mind. That's what you were thinking about. But you can't have that unless you take that time to really go inside yourself. And I think one of the journeys of life, and especially longevity, is to go inside you and find out who you are. So at 62, you can be sexy, and what I mean by that is not just physical appearance, but I realize that if you take care of the inside, the outside will take care of itself, and you will have that glow because there's so much good stuff going on inside. You can't help but to be glowing and to be charismatic and bring people and situations to your life that's going to help you go to that next level. So, again, I think it's all about, you know, the inner spirit and building the inner core. And if you do that, I mean, you'll be young forever.
I tell you, and you know, I just wanted, you know, it's so true what you're saying. Absolutely, we have the power within us to to be when you said when you were 9 years old you knew you wanted to be a writer, though you didn't know all what that meant or maybe possibly, you know, what you needed to do next. But why I'm so motivated to, or should I say inspired, I'm inspired now that I've learned the true difference between the word motivation and the word inspired.
Yes.
I'm inspired. I didn't know before, but now I truly understand. I am now inspired to work with these young girls because now when they say, you know, well, Miss Lisa, I so that's what they call me, Miss Lisa. I so God didn't he, you know, he said they're already mannerable, so that's a plus. But when they say, okay, I want to be this or I want to be that, and I can say, okay, you didn't do this, do that. But it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful that one of the 11-year-olds, she said, what, you know, we were talking about college just for a second. And then she's like, well, what degrees, what did she ask me? What degrees are there? And so.
How many degrees are there? Right?
Yeah, like what, you know, and I thought maybe that this was something that was probably being taught to them. But she's only going to the seventh grade, so I guess
of course.
Hasn't been quite explained yet. So I sat there, and when they wanted to get together yesterday, so they had said to me last week, this is our real first little meeting after just saying we would do it. And they said, the minute I pulled up, they came running over. Well, give me a minute. I got to go in the house. Let me get whatever. And they said, oh, should we bring our notebooks? And I said, sure, you know. So we sat on my deck, and they all, you know, gathered around the table. And, you know, I said, wow, God, what is going on here, you know? And they were ready to take notes. And I'm asking, you know, I'm doing the whole Socratic type method where I'm just asking questions. And letting them do everything, and except of course I had to tell them. But I did ask them. Even I told them about the first degree, like an AA, that you would get at County College or something. But when we got to the bachelor's, and I said, it's a 4-year. I said 4-year. One of them knew it was a bachelor's, so And I said, well, what letters do you think we use to represent that? And I said, well, look at the letters from the last one, you know, the AA. And so the girl, the one that EB, I was like, well, close.
Wow.
But first I let them explain to me what all they knew about colleges. And so it's very interesting. So, you know, parents, don't assume that just because your children watch TV, play on the Internet, can pick out a cute, sexy outfit, don't think she knows everything about college.
And also, but it's almost, how could they? You have to understand that, especially in our community, very few people go to college, and very few people go beyond the AA or the BA. I mean, when I started meeting people who had their master's and their PhD, it was when I was actually a college professional. I mean, I didn't know about it because, again, I never thought I would go to college. When I did go to college, it was because of different grants and scholarships, and it was a whole new arena for me, and I needed guidance in that arena. I mean, that's one of the things, the beautiful things about reading and talking and listening to people who know more than you know, because you learn, and to be humble. You know, again, there's nothing wrong with not knowing. I think the sin and the shame is not wanting to know. You know, that's what hurts many of us, you know, not wanting to know or have closed our minds off to the point where nothing gets in but just nonsense and foolishness or the easy things, you know, because it's easy to sit down and watch these reality shows, which are really not about reality, and to be entertained by these people who are doing wrong on so many different levels, and because they married a certain person and they're living off this notoriety. I mean, they have the show called the Ex-Wives show. People who had women had married successful men, you know, famous men, and now they're sort of riding on the coattails of that, you know. And they had a reality show based upon that, and it's kind of silly because people watch these shows and not realizing that a lot of this stuff is scripted. a lot of stuff is made up for your entertainment. But the only thing about that, and the sad thing about it, is that a lot of these young girls watch this and they think that what they need to do is be pretty, you know, to get a man to take care of them, not realizing that, you know, the goal is to be able to take care of yourself, to be self-sufficient, you know. And I think they get the wrong message from many of these shows. And it's just so sad because it's easier to sit down and watch these shows rather than saying, you know what, this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I imagine for myself. And this is what I want to achieve for myself. I don't want, I mean, one of my goals still, I mean, is to be financially independent. And what by that, what I mean is to have the mortgage paid, to have money in the bank where I don't have to worry about that. And, you know, a lot of us live from paycheck to paycheck. That's no way to live. I mean, it's all so much anxiety. I mean, it's almost like juggling the 5 or 6 balls at the same time. Now, you can do that for a little while, but after a while, you can get tired. And one of those balls are going to break. And let's say if those balls are as fragile as eggs. You know, once you drop a ball, that's a disaster. That's a tragedy. And so many of us are living that kind of life. And again, in my wish, my hope, my prayer for all our listening audience is that you have a measure of financial independence, especially when you go into your 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, when you don't have the power and the strength to do as much as you used to do. I mean, my motto right now is not to work harder, but to work smarter, okay? Because, you know, when you're young, you have the power of energy at your disposal, okay? You know, when I was 20, 30, I mean, I never got tired. I could run and run and run. I could leave work Friday and party the whole weekend and then come into my apartment and on Monday morning at 6 o'clock, shower and shave and go and put in a full day of work. And after work, go out to dinner. I mean, I can't do that now. I mean, around 10 o'clock, I'm getting a little droopy-eyed, you know. And I sometimes barely make it through the 10 o'clock news, you know. But I like to watch that with my wife, and we have our time together. But my point is that because you don't have all the energy that you used to have, you have to use the energy you have in a very wise and productive way. And you don't do that by wasting your time watching or doing something that is of no benefit to you, is no real value to you. And I'm not knocking reality shows. I'm just saying that, you know, you have to really be selective about what you take into your mind, because sometimes you can take something into your mind that could be poison to your system. It could be an idea. It could be a thought. It could be even an image.
Mm-hmm.
That you put in your mind, and it can poison your whole system to the point where it's like a computer virus. So you get a virus in your computer and it shuts everything down. Things start crashing, things start freezing, and you don't want your life to be like that. You want your life to be free-flowing, because the more you flow, the better it gets and the better you get. And Dr. Wayne Dyer says, you know, it's about wishes fulfilled. It's about mastering the art of manifestation. Putting something in mind that you really want to achieve and moving toward that goal no matter what. No matter what anybody says, what anybody does, you know you're going to do that. I like what Dan Hardy says. He says that, you know what, I can't control the world, but I can control my world, and his world is what's important to him. I mean, I read many newspapers every day, and some of the news does not stick with me because I'm not interested in that. But some things that I read, and I'm a big clipper. I mean, I have files of articles that I've taken out of newspapers that I've read, and I put it together, I put it away for some time, and I might bring it out for some kind of research or whatnot, you know, because this is something that's got my interest. But the biggest thing right now is my whole idea about lifelong learning and healthy aging. Every time I see an article about that, I clip it, I save it, I put it in my archives, because I know I'm going to go back to it again. But again, conscious living is being conscious of the fact that every day, every single day, is about bringing you closer to your ultimate goal. And I think our ultimate goal is to be happy, is to live a life that is happy for us and also the people that are around us. You know, I mean, joy is infectious. When you get around somebody who is joyful, who is happy, who is passionate, you have to rise to that occasion. I mean, you know, you have to, if you want to be around that person, you got to follow that person's energy, you know, because, again, sometimes it can be exhausting being around somebody who is on fire, you know. But, you know, it's just, I mean, it's just like having fun. You go to a party, everybody's dancing and whatnot, and you might say, well, you know, I'm really not, don't feel like dancing, but you know what? The music is there, the party's there, the people's there. You say, you know what? Let me get up and do my thing, as James Brown used to say. See, because, again, it's just contagious, it's infectious. And I think we live a good life when we make people around us feel good about themselves, more so than what they think about us, because I don't care what you think about me. But I'm trying to develop an environment that is inviting, that is self-affirming, that is life-affirming, and that is really about what I want to be about. You know, I want to be about inspiring people. I want to be about empowering people. I want to be about living my life to the fullest. You know, it's interesting because Norman Vincent Peale says in his book Positive Thinking Every Day, he says here, live your life and forget your age. I mean, after you get to a certain age, it's not about age, it's about living your life. Because if you live your life well, the ages, years accumulate, but they have no effect on what you do, because I find for myself is that it's not so much about age, but it's really about accomplishments, you know, and setting goals and reaching goals and moving to the next goal, but also being open for life surprises, because it is an adventure. And it is, I mean, sometimes I have an idea of what I'm going to do in my routine, but there's things that come in. I remember reading about Quincy Jones, who said, you know, when he's in the recording studio, he always leaves room for God to come in. He has his arrangements, he has his artists, he has his songs, he has his musicians and whatnot, but there's something missing. And that something missing is what he leaves room for, you know. And that's when God steps in and gives you something that you never could imagine, gives you something that is great, because I always talk about in terms of the Sexy F 60 philosophy, and this I got from Bill Withers, a film by Bill Withers called Still Bill. He says, you know, life is about going from all right to wonderful. And he says that there are many people who will have to be satisfied with wonderful. It's not a bad thing, but I mean, be satisfied being at all right, which is not a bad thing, but he wants us to get to wonderful. And wonderful is the place to be. And I think we've all experienced this time we were in the wonderful. I mean, when one of my first crews, that was wonderful. I mean, that was, I can't describe that first experience. And I know for myself, I like to spend more time in the wonderful. Sometimes it's not always possible because we have trials and tribulations and whatnot. But to get a glimpse of that wonderful and to taste the sweetness of the wonderful and to be in that wonderful 24/7, I think that's what heaven is about. I think that's what paradise is about, is being in that wonderful forever. But in this form, in this human form, because we are human, we are frail, we have our aches and pains, it's not always wonderful, but there are always glimpses of wonderful. Now, I don't know about you, but I move always each day, every hour, every second, to move toward that wonderful, to have my life be about wonderful all the time. And I think, again, one of the things I know for sure is that once you get a taste of wonderful, you want that again. You know, it's like when I was coming up, I looked forward to church on Sunday because it was just such a great experience. But as I got older, I realized that, you know what, every day can be church on Sunday. You know, every day could be Sunday. You know, Joel Austin has a book talking about every day a Friday. But in my life, I want to see that every day a Sunday. So every day I can pray, every day I can play some spiritual music, every day I can be in meditation and in harmony, you know. So for me, no, it's not just about Sunday, because you know what? It's every day. Every day is a Sunday. Every day is a day in wonderfulness. That's what it's about, you know, wonderful. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, every day, I tell you, right, every day is a holiday. Every day is your birthday. Every day you're alive.
Yeah, oh yeah.
your birthday, you know. So, but yeah, wow, I tell you, it is really, really, you know, a wonderful time. I know you're, now, you know, I was wondering, did you, in your journey, as you were recording and taping and preparing your Sexy at 60, did you happen to meet, or I'm not sure if you talked about this woman already, that Ernestine Shepherd?
I'm sorry, sir?
Yes. Did you happen to meet in your journey as you're preparing your Sexy at 60 and over, did you happen to meet or talk to Ernestine Shepherd?
No, I didn't. I never have.
But you heard of her?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, but you didn't get a chance to meet her yet.
No, I didn't. I did not.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I've met so many people, and, you know, they've all had an impact, but like I said, you know, but you just never know. And now, because people are living longer and looking so much better, you sometimes you don't want to ask the question because you're not sure. And at one time it was impolite for a gentleman to ask a woman her age, but I've met so many vibrant women in their, you know, in their 60s who have really redefined what 60 is, because it's not what I imagined it was at 20. And I find a lot of women, you know, because they've raised their children, you know, they've gone through the 30s and 40s and 50s, and what they've done is they reclaim their bodies. They're going to the gym. They're eating healthy foods. They're drinking more water. You know, they're really reclaiming their body because at this particular time, you know, many of them are single, you know, and so they have opportunity to really be about themselves. Their children are adults. They're doing, they're living their own lives and whatnot. And so at 60, they found an opportunity to really just to be with themselves and to develop themselves into the person that they want to be, because, you know, one of the things you have to understand that it's never too late. George Eliot said it best when he says that it's never too late to live the life that you were meant to live. It's never too late for that, you know. It's never too late. I mean, we have I was watching the last night, Tony Bennett, you know, who is definitely beyond 60, you know, still singing, and not only singing, but also painting. You know, I think that's one of the things that I realized, that, you know, it's not too early, not too late to, you know, to get a new hobby. You know, I mean, why not paint? Why not draw? Why not sing if that's your desire? You know, I think as you get older, you get to the point where you're not trying to please other people. You know, I think when we're young, we want to be like everybody else, because we don't want to stand out. But as you get older, you realize that to stand out is what you want to do, because the more you stand out, the more that you are yourself, and you're not worried about what people think about you. I mean, I think that's one of the things about being much older. You don't care about what other people think, because you don't have time. You know, being concerned about what other people think about you and how they view you. You don't have time to dwell on that, you know, because, you know, life is short in terms of when you look at the full picture, because, you know, we all want to live forever, because as you get older, you find there's so much more to do, you know. Hello, did I lose you? Hello?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I was talking
away.
I was talking away and was
knocked off, you know.
But I said, you know, it's good that you are out there, that you're putting this information out there, because there are people who don't know. There are just people who, you know, just like we were talking about, just like you can be 9 or 10 and not know something. Well, you can be 50, 60, and 70 and not know that it's not too late, or not know, where do I get started? Okay, Always wanted to write a book. I never got a chance to do it. I went to work and took care of my family and my children. Now that's all, you know, pretty much done with. I still have all this life left. What do I do with it? So that's good that they'll be able to, you know, pick up your CD or your DVD or pick up your book and read it. That's one thing, not for nothing, but the generation that is in their 70s, one thing that you can probably count on them to do, and that's read a book.
Yes.
And not saying that younger people don't, but the younger people are forced to do a lot of things digitally because that's all they know.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it, they tell me that they're too busy. And my question is too busy doing what?
Well, if you take...
What can you be doing that you can't spend, like, I would say just 20 minutes to a half an hour with a book?
Well, if you give your child, think about this, if the average parent gives their child at age 5 now or 7 a cell phone, okay, then by 9 you have an iPad. And not only that, in age 5, a lot of these kids, their schedules are almost as busy as mine and yours.
Wow.
They go to school, then they got the after party. Then they play football, or they go to ballet, or they go to drama. They go to, then you take them shopping. Now they got to go with you to the nail salon. They got to get their nails done when they're there. You got to take them to the barber shop. A lot of these things, remember, we did that stuff at home, and it happened like once a month.
But
these children at a very early age, they have busy schedules.
So the
society is demanding them to know more and to be more and do more. Then, you know, so we've done this to them, but here's the thing. We just have to leverage now the world that they live in. Because, again, even a child knows that my cell phone is old. I need the update.
And my mind is aging.
So they're used to change. Change is something now that's commonplace for them. Okay, not like before when we were kids. You know, you didn't see change for like a whole 5 years almost.
Exactly.
Now change is happening in a second, and it was a nanosecond. You know, so now and everything is digital for them. Everything. The stoplights, gas. Go to the gas. Credit card. I mean, everything is so digital for them. You know. They still have to, you know, read. And guess what? I was at a training yesterday. Do you know they're doing everything they can to teach us teachers how to put technology in the classroom?
Well, yeah, but it's so funny because many of us sort of shy away from that, realizing that, you know, we need to plug into that because I always believe that you got to meet people where they are before you can take it to another level.
We had a discussion about how in a classroom you take your, I'm telling you, this is what, and you know this, Terry, you're in the same college as I teach at.
Yeah, of course.
They're taking their cell phones. You just might as well go out and get your kid a cell phone because they're going to be left out, I'm telling you. Now they're teaching the teachers how to take the cell phone and have every student, like, do a poll in the classroom. So the teacher asks a question. And then the teacher says, okay, now, and you know, you can set these things, all this stuff you can set up on your cell phone with all these applications.
Of course, of course.
So you have the poll on the app, and you ask a question. You may write the question on the board.
Yes.
Now you say, okay, answer it, you know, using your cell phone. So
yeah,
if you're just sitting in the classroom because you couldn't get them a cell phone or you didn't want them to because you didn't think they were old enough, I'm telling you, that's what time it is.
Wow. And it's interesting. I know I was at a speaking engagement, and I was on a panel, and what had happened was that, you know, we gave our presentations, and then what happened, it was maybe 150 young kids in the audience. And the moderator said, you know, if you have any questions, you can go to your cell phone and put your questions into the cell phone. That way it would be anonymous. And they did that, and then we were able to actually answer their questions. But again, if you didn't have a cell phone, you couldn't ask any questions.
It's, you know, and that's, but the thing is, and that's where we're at. So before, when cell phones first came out, it was almost a sin to take it into a meeting. And don't you dare let that cell phone go off. Everybody turns their head and looks at you.
Yes, of course.
But that was then. Now it is being utilized because as a speaker, I'm looking forward to the next time I have to go somewhere to present. I'm looking forward to the next icebreaker being, okay, take out your cell phones, punch in this code. And the first one to get the right answer, you get the door prize. I can't.
Oh, that's great. That's
can't
great.
Wait for that. Because why? Here's the thing. What does it do? Well, it, you know, especially when you are a speaker, you have so much competition. You want to do stuff that is exciting, that's fun, and you want to catch that one generation that may be your main staff and employee may not want to go to a conference or a workshop or a training. If you don't make it fun for them, they're your main driving force. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, that's true. That's true. What you're saying.
So it's some exciting things that are happening. So people don't diss the cell phone too quickly and don't.
Well, no. It's the new technology, you know. And again, we can't go back to the past. I remember when I was growing up, during the 50s, when you wanted a cold drink of water, you went to your faucet and you let the water run and it became cold and you had water, you know. And I remember joking back then, you know, talk about, you know, well, water is free. And now you got to pay for it.
And you know what, too?
You know?
Right.
You know, I mean, and for me, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, this whole thing of bottled water is something that we didn't know back in the day, you know. But now, I know I buy a lot of bottled water, you know, and it's so funny when you go to, like, these events and whatnot. We were out at Lincoln Center, me and my son, and then he got thirsty. He said, you know, let me get a bottle of water. And they wanted to charge him $3 for a bottle of water that, you know, when you buy it, it's like 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, again, you know, on the one hand, we have to understand that time is moving on, and we can't be so close-minded that we don't keep up. I know for myself, I don't even know why they even have textbooks right now. My whole thing, I see a day in the very soon where everybody will have a Kindle or Nook, and you come into class, and all, you know, your textbook will be on your Kindle or your Nook.
We're already almost there. When, you know, especially like for us in the business department, program Connect, and when you purchase Connect for the $42, the book is already, the business ebook is right there. So we've made the student purchase the book for $150, and then they have to, and then they get the Connect membership with it. But that book, now all they got to do is bring their laptop to the classroom.
Wow.
And before it was like, well, every school doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Their own Wi-Fi. There's just so much, and we got to have a whole discussion about that. But it won't be today because we only have 20 seconds left to the broadcast.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So we want to go out saying happy birthday again to you, to Terry Benjamin, and anyone else's birthday that happens to be today. Terry, I don't know if you're coming to our conference on August the 25th.
I'll be there.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Because I wanted to talk to you about that. I will be there.
Please call me. Please, everybody, please make your way to 925 Alling Street in Newark, New Jersey. It's known as the Union Building, 1199J. Only $30 for attendance, and you're going to get a lot, including lunch. Phenomenal speakers. As a matter of fact, the renowned Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant, our keynote speaker, will be my guest right here on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow at 11 o'clock a.m. That was the time that I could get her, so I do apologize for not having it at a time where others could get in. But I do have a caller with their hand up, so I'm going to take this call. Caller 817, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Lisa. It's Nicole Upton. I've been tuning in several mornings to your shows, and I've been getting a lot of great information. I just wanted to, you know, quickly say that I'm looking forward to being one of your speakers on the 25th.
You are.
I'm loving what you are saying and doing, and I look forward to coming and being a part of the move of God that He's doing with you and for the ladies that are going to be in attendance. And gentlemen, as I've just heard, Terry, I've listened to you, and I look forward to meeting you on the 25th as well.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, Nicole is one of our speakers. And, Nicole, I'm certainly going to be scheduling the different speakers from the conference to be on the show over the next days leading up to the broadcast. So I definitely have that in mind. So I'm trying to set it up and see which days so people can get a taste of what to expect. Right now, people are excited about coming. I tell you, you know, Nicole, when we first started this, I didn't think it was going to be a national event, but because you're coming all the way from Texas.
Absolutely.
Phone. I have a woman coming from California, and she's not a speaker. She's coming to participate. Maryland, Ohio, you know, it's just amazing.
Because it's an awesome thing when you collaborate and pull together the resources, because I believe that there's power in knowledge, just like you two were speaking about. Technology gleaning. I love what Terry was saying, you know, how you have to be careful about what you absorb into your spirit. I'm a firm believer of that. And I don't like reality TV either. I feel like, why watch reality TV when I can be doing something that goes toward my own life, you know, that's going to help my life be productive, you know? So I firmly believe in just the different things that you guys were talking about, and it got me really, really excited and looking forward to being out there and not only, you know, helping someone else, but also I feel when I allow God to use me in whatever capacity, either in my business, in my mentor, I have a mentor group where I mentor teenage and young ladies who, you know, gone through teenage pregnancies and different things like that. I realize that when I'm allowing God to use me in whatever capacity He chooses to, is that it's more of a blessing for me, I believe, than it is, you know, than what it is that I'm giving out. So I just love this show. I just wanted to quickly chime in and just say I love the conversation, and I'm looking forward to being a part of what you guys have going on the 25th. And I'm just really, I'm really energized. I'm there.
Thank you.
Also, well, that was the show yesterday. It was what happens when you combine motivation with energy. So that on that note, unfortunately, I do have to run out, or so I will stay here and chat for another 15 minutes or so. This is good. So hopefully, Nicole, if you're available to come back on tomorrow, we will have Dr. Gwendolyn Goolsbee Grant. She is a fireball. You won't believe it. And Terry, I hope you can also tune in to catch some of her show if you're not in class at that time. But it's been great, everyone. Thank you so much for calling in, Nicole. We look forward to you coming back on the show. Terry, thank you again. Happy birthday as you celebrate this awesome day with your family and your loved ones. And, wow, I know you guys are going to have an absolute blast.
You know it.
Gosh, I wish I could just be there. I know it's going to be amazing. So have a great and great, wonderful day to all everybody that tuned in and listened, to all the hundreds of people that are going to call back in and listen to the archives. We so thank you. We so appreciate you. Those that were in the chat room, I know a couple of people came in and out. Please feel free. We don't have the website up yet for the Lalisa Williams Show, but because of the conference, a lot of my energy is being zapped there at the same time. I'm helping to put on a re-entry career conference at Metropolitan Baptist Church for people who have any type of criminal record. They can come on the Friday before the event of all days, August the 24th from 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. But they They need to register first. So if you know anyone with a criminal record, just inbox me and I will get them the paperwork that they need in order to register, where we're going to teach them about expungements, about the help that's in the community for them, what to do on what to say in interviews, what to put on their resumes, what the job market is like today. So we're going to get them ready. Then we have a job fair coming soon to Metropolitan Baptist Church in Newark, New Jersey. So please, yes, just wanted to get that in. So, but after that, we will have the website up for the show where you can keep up with, you know, past guests, current guests, future guests. So we're moving on. We're not quite 60, but we're almost there, but we're trying to make we get ready for it.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Melissa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Melissa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Melissa J. Williams.